We're doing the Shota Ran. We are up to the second speech. The Ran is focused on the question, why does God love the Jews? Pretty big question. And the Ran began with the Pasuk in the beginning of Malachi, the last prophet, Ahavti etchem amar Hashem. God says, I love you. V'amartem, and you'll ask, V'ma avtanu? Why do you love us? Halach Esav le'Yaakov. Esav and Yaakov are brothers. Why do you love us more? Why shouldn't you love Esav? God answers, V'ohavet Yaakov. I love Yaakov. Let Esav saneiti. And I hate Esav. V'asim et arav shmamav et nachlato l'tanot midbar. And I have made his mountains into desolation. And his inheritance is... Inherit is really taken over by the wild animals of the desert. And the Ran asked, what does this verse mean? The verse seems to say, you know how I love you? Because look, Yaakov and Esav were brothers. And Yaakov's relationship to Esav is not like Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yishmael, he came from a different wife. He was the son of the maid. But Esav and Yaakov, they were twins. And technically, Esav should have gotten just like Yaakov got. But you know what? If a person gives one son more than the other, so then he gives, that shows that he loves him more. And the Ran said, what Hashem's telling us is that God is not like a father in this regard. A father, if he has one son that always embarrasses him, at the end of the day, when he's writing his inheritance, he gives everyone an equal lot. If he's half decent, he gives everyone an equal lot. Even the dunce. At the end of the day, he's a son, he gives everyone equally. God isn't that way. God says, what do I care if you're my son or not my son, if you're the son of Yitzchak or not? What kind of life have you led? Are you a good person or a bad person? So, the Ran went on to explain that this is the reason that our arch enemy is Esav. Because Esav looks at Yaakov and says, by what right do you have it so good? Why are you the chosen people? Every other nation can swallow it. I understand Avram went in God's ways, Yitzchak went in God's ways. But Esav says, I'm the same son of Avram, Yitzchak that you are. Why should you have it any better than me? And that's why, historically, Esav has been our arch enemy, and that was the point that Esav always attacked us on. And we're up to, in the Mosada of Kok edition, it's page Nun Chet, Ve'al Zeh Atzad. In this edition you have it, Ve'al Zeh Atzad. Page Lamed Dalet over there, and Chaf Chet, I think, over there. Ve'al Zeh Atzad, and with this understanding, Yuvan Ma Shedarshu Rabotenu Zal B'Perkamadim Gila. We could understand what our sages taught us in the first chapter of Tractate Megillah. She ifshal sheyu shneim shavim begdula, aval imale'ah hechoreva. It is impossible that Esav and Yaakov both be successful simultaneously. Rather, Esav succeeds when we go down. And the prophet says in Yechezkel that the city of Tzor said, imale'ah, I will become full, I will become wealthy, hechareva, from the destruction of Jerusalem. And the prophet takes Tzor to task over that. Now, Tzor was really an island where many merchants passed, and the prophets discussed Tzor. And we have a tradition that when the prophets discuss Tzor, almost always in Tanakh, they're discussing all of Edom. They're not only discussing Tzor. Tzor is referred to as the capital of Edom. In almost every instance in Tanakh, when Tzor is discussed, there's really an allusion to our relationship with Esav. And this is one example. When the Navi speaks about Tzor and says, you Tzor, I will take you to task over your saying, imale'ah echoreva, I will make wealth. All the merchants will come through me. All the looters will come through me after they loot Jerusalem, and I will become wealthy over Jerusalem's destruction. That's not only a reference to Tzor, it's really a reference to all of Edom. And our sages said that this pasuk, imale'ah, I will become full, echoreva, from her destruction, is really the continual relationship between us and Esav. And our sages learned, im male'a zo, hechreva zo. Im male'a hechareva is im male'a. If this one is full, hechreva zo, then that one is destroyed. Esav and Yaakov could never both be on top. ויש לשאול, and so we could ask, למה יחויב זה באדום מכל הגויים? Why specifically with Edom must this be the case? Every other nation could be on top together with the Jews. Edom, if the Jews are on top, Edom cannot be on top. אבל זה הצד שכתבתי עם תוספת ביול. This works according to what we said earlier, with a little bit more explanation. והוא, and that is, כי מצד שאין גוי שראוי שיקנה ביעקב, being that really no other nation should have such jealousy of Yaakov, יהיה אפשר שימשול ממשל רב גם ביות מושל בישראל. They could have tremendous rulership at the same time that we do. כי ממשלת הגויים וארצותם לשונותם לא תהיק לישראל כלל. Because when the other nations have their own territories with their own language, they're not infringing upon us. כי דבר אין להם עמו, because really they have no issue with us. אך עשיו, but when it comes to Esav, לו תמצא ידו, יגבל ליבו להתנשא על אחיו, whenever he can find the strength, he wants to go big on his brother. כי הוא הבכור, because he's the big brother, ובנחלתו יתאבר, and he's angry over his lot. למור, he says, גם אנכי יורש עצר, I also have the same inheritance, כי אב אחד לכולנו, we have the same father. ומזה יחויב מות עשיו, כי ירים יעקב את ידו וגבה. And that's why it must be this way, that there's always going to be a constant conflict. It's like a seesaw. If one's up, the other's down. But it's impossible. If we're up, Esav wants us down. But we can only be up if Esav's down. Because if Esav's up, he doesn't let us go up. ואומנם מות יעקב לא יימשך מהתנסות עשיו, אבל התנסות עשיו יחויב למות יעקב. Whenever we go down, Esav goes up. We don't try to put Esav down. But the only way Esav could go up is when we go down. ולא בעצם על דרך מה שימשך מות עשיו להתנסות יעקב חלילה. It's not in essence that we want to put Esav down in the same way Esav wants to put us down, אבל במקרה, it's like a coincidence. והוא, אם לא צדקת השם יתברך אשר עשה ביעקב, ובא אויביו יכניע, if not for God's righteousness that he helps us and puts down our enemies, if not for that we have no chance. כי יחלק השם יתברך לכל העמים ולאומות ישית בחלוקות. למי יחפוץ מבין כל העמים רבים להנחיל כיסא כבוד יותר מעשיו בן האהובה? Any nation, Hashem chooses, who am I going to give him the capacity to be one of the world powers now? More than Esav, אשר יתלכו אבותיו לפניו אברהם ויצחק. In essence, God doesn't like Esav. He says, you have no excuse. You came from a family where everyone served Hashem and you left the fold. ולזה יחויב שיתנשא עשיו בגויים, אם לא בעת אשר יעקב וזרעו יצלחו למנוחה. Hashem says, technically, Esav, at the end of the day, you're Avram and Yitzchak's grandson. So when I have to decide who I'm going to put on top of the world, I'm going to put you on top. Because you do have a father and a grandfather who I love. I do love Avram and Yitzchak. If I can make Yaakov big, if Yaakov deserves it, I'll make him big. If Yaakov deserves to be put down, my next choice is Esav. It's interesting because the question is, how does that work? So we discussed the difference between Yishmael and Esav. But the Ran began by saying that God doesn't play favorites. He says, if you didn't live up to your task, then I don't owe you anything just because you're his son and his grandson. So why is the Ran saying over here that technically if God has to choose a world power, the first choice is always Esav, if not Yaakov. If Yaakov is deserving, then Yaakov. If Yaakov is not deserving, the default is Esav before anyone else. And that's why whenever we go down, Esav goes up. It's not that we put them down, but that technically we're the first choice, they're the second choice.
Esav Edom is the fourth kingdom, the second time yet.
Right.
So it's going to be the fifth kingdom.
Right.
And then when the fourth kingdom is destroyed, it's completely destroyed. Is it destroyed because he is because his son is the brother? Because it's closer, so it's more personal, so the punishment has to be more strict?
I don't know.
Looking for,
I don't know. In general, we have to know how to apply all of this. Meaning, Chazal applied in the times of the first and second temple and in the times of David, etc. The application today, we need to understand what he means. That's always difficult. Let's move forward. Bezat Shem, in the upcoming weeks, when we have a complete picture of what he's saying, then we have to understand. He's quoting this as a merit to Esav that he grew up as a grandson of Avram and Yitzhak. Initially he said, it's a detriment. God says,
remember I heard a shiur that Esav, he was rewarded because he gave respect to his father.
Right. There is a Chazal that says that, but the Ran hasn't said that yet. Meaning if the Ran would have said that, I wouldn't have a problem. The Ran is saying, at the end of the day, he's a grandson. He's a son and a grandson of people who went in God's ways. And as a reward to them, so to speak, God's going to make it good for him. So we could say that's the balance. Meaning, for him to be the chosen people just because he's their grandson, no. But for them to get this merit that at the end of the day, their son or their grandson, Yitzchak's son, Avram's grandson, will have it good in this world, that God does do. That's a reward, so to speak, to Yitzchak and Avram. That's maybe the balance between what the Ran is saying now and what the Ran said in the beginning. But let's see slowly. The Ran is a little bit different than the Ramban. The Ramban, every line you get a new thought. The Ran takes many paragraphs to develop a complete thought. So we'll see Be'ezrat Hashem in future ways.